Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.
Spiegel and Company.
Spiegel and Company.
Afternoons on the Score.
Dave Wanstead.
I can't believe that Michigan, the quarterback that's starting for him now, help me out. What's his name? He is.
Help him for Christ's sake.
Not JJ McCarthy.
No, he's been a 4-year walk on for him.
Drew Henson.
Yes. No.
And this kid's a great kid, a good player, but all the talk was that they were going to start the young kid, Orgy.
That's a terrible name.
Davis Warren.
Davis Warren, but they were not.
Did you say Orgy? Is that what you said?
Yeah, it's his last name.
Can you just be nice?
After 7 o'clock, after dinner, it turns into Caligula around here, trust me.
Yeah. Shane, can you check on that, please, for me?
No. Wait. Can I finish my sentence?
I'm sorry. I got distracted by the orgy in Michigan.
I'm trying to say something concrete here, okay?
Why are they having a damn orgy in such a dump, then? I thought this kind of thing went down in, like, somebody's elegant mansion. I was looking forward to that.
No, nobody's going to have an orgy in their mansion all over their nice furniture. I mean, that doesn't make sense.
Well, no, it doesn't. That's a really good point.
I'm concerned about the quarterback position.
Yeah.
All right.
I would be too. But with the tailgating and the orgy and the everything, it's
enough.
It's just enough. I agree.
Orgy.
I can't. I'm not an orgy guy. Don't you know what it means to become an orgy guy? It changes everything. I have to dress different. I have to act different. I have to grow a mustache and get all kinds of robes and lotions and. I need a new bedspread, new curtains. I'd have to get thick carpeting and weirdo lighting. Of course, I'd have to get new friends. I'd have to get orgy friends.
Orgy.
There's something tall and strong. Make it a hurricane before I go insane. It's only 12:30, but I don't care.
He don't care.
I don't care.
It's 5:00 somewhere.
Tell you what, in Saturday's win against Arkansas State, Alex Orgy, 2 of 4 for 12 yards, including a touchdown pass. Quarterback rating of 157.7. So I think we can clearly say, Paul Pabst and Dave Wanstead, the orgy at Michigan was a success.
Well, I'll tell you what, Paul, it's good to have you on, buddy. Good to be working with you.
Great to be on, Coach, and I want to get this right off the bat before we get to the football.
Go ahead.
1995, living at 2128 North Sheffield, right by DePaul.
Yep.
I had to scramble for a Halloween costume to go out with my moron buddies. I couldn't grow a mustache in 6 hours, but I put on a mustache. I put on a white turtleneck sweater, and then I put on one of those starter pullover Bears jackets.
Love it.
I blew my hair dry, blew it dry a little bit to get a little of the power feather you had going in the 90s. And I walked outside. My buddy Phil goes, "Coach Wanstead?" I'm like, "Yes." He knew it was you. And I went as you for Halloween, and it crushed.
Well, you know what, Paul? That was a good year to do it. I'm glad you didn't dress up like that in 98. You know,
it was a great year for your hair. It was a great year for the Bears. It was a great year for everything.
Absolutely.
That is tremendous. Did you have a buddy who was dressed like Eric Kramer at the same time? You guys could have gone as the whole offense.
We considered it, but I had the pullover starter, which really sold it, Coach. And I actually looked up, you wore a white turtleneck sweater for just one game, and I went with that look.
God, you were on point. I'll tell you what, that's impressive. Very impressive.
Glad to do it, Coach.
Let me ask you a question. Have you ever heard of Iron City Light beer, Icy Light?
Yeah, I'm really surprised that Iron City would have a light. That seems like a place that would go heavy, more calories in a beer.
Let me tell you something. It is smooth. It is my drink of pleasure when I'm in Pittsburgh.
So mango? Sometimes, Paulie, we have an icy light mango.
No, we don't.
Yes, we do.
Only when Tanny you know, order some at 2 a.m. or something. I don't know how the hell he...
He was driving around. He saw some and he picked it up. We had it in here. And you drank the whole thing. You hated it, but drank the whole thing.
We're going to have some 8 beer coming in here. When did the Bears play Monday night, Shane? Danny?
So Troy Aikman 8 beer?
Yes. Yeah, I was texting with Troy last Monday for the game last Monday and said, hey, I got to get you on the show when you have the Bears Monday night. And he said, sure. And I said, you know what? We have a little happy hour. Send me some of your, a couple cases up here and we'll promote your beer. So we will be drinking. So we should let you know, you should join us then. You know, that you can have a little
week 15 coach, December 16th, Vikings.
Wait a while. Wait a while.
Matt, coach, real quick. Are we allowed to drink on this segment or is this just coach only?
Oh no, you go for it. It's 5 o'clock somewhere.
In fact,
it's 5 o'clock here. Paulie's reaching back and he's got something. Oh man. It's an icy light mango. Unbelievable.
There we go. I'm with you.
All right. There it is.
Hey, Paul, how it started was during the Oh, I love it. Pop, bang. There you go. During the pandemic, yeah. I was in Naples, Florida, where I live in the off season, but I was doing the show and we were on Twitch and I was having a bourbon and it all started then with the guys. And it was 5 o'clock, obviously, because it's Eastern time. And sure. They all started shouting here, Spiggs and Danny, are you having a drink? And I said, yes, I am having a Terry Bradshaw bourbon. And then 2 minutes later, I leaned out and grabbed my cigar and I took a puff. And they said, you can't be smoking a cigar. I said, I'm smoking a cigar. It's 5 o'clock here.
Yes.
And it's my happy hour. Now, you know, it is what
They're
it is.
They're not going to take away your scholarship.
No, they weren't going to take away my scholarship. And so it caught fire, and now we come up here, and Shane and Tanny and everybody, it's the mob that follows our show the internet,
yes.
They start wanting to have a drink with us. Yep. So here we are.
So cheers to everyone. Paulie, glad you have a beer. Everybody raise your glass wherever you are, and enjoy a toast with Coach Dave Wannstedt. This segment with Wani is brought to you by Four Winds Casinos, your entertainment escape. Coach, we led the show by talking about all the noise this week. You got C.J. Stroud having to talk about what he was saying to Caleb Williams at the end of the damn game. I don't know if you saw this one. James Odunze, Rome's dad, tweeted a play where Rome was open in the end zone, and he apparently tweeted it in response to Dan Orlovsky's breakdown where he said that Rome couldn't get open in the NFL, but everybody thought that was actually about Caleb, and he had to tweet, say, no, this wasn't about Caleb, it was just about Dan Orlovsky.
Wow.
But like all this freaking noise, they're 1-1, and
right.
You're 2 games in, and if we told you in August they'd be 1-1 with a 1-score loss in Houston in week 2, you'd be like, all right, sign me up. Let's go.
No question. I mean, you know, that's what social media does. Everybody overreacts to everything. And it would bother me more. This is a good week to have some overreaction, though, because we're playing the Colts. You know, we'll get into that later. But so I feel good about that. But no, it's – and the player – you can't respond back to it. That's the trap. And you guys know this. Paul knows this. I mean, the minute that somebody responds back to, you know, then all of a sudden, here you go. It catches fire, and then there's 10 responses. So,
well, Coach, I was wondering, if you were coaching a team and a player did this on social media, I know you gladly probably missed a lot of the social media era as your coaching tenure – but would you do the walk up to the player and say, hey, you got to talk to dad? Or would you have one of your staffers
Absolutely.
Go to that player?
Oh, I would do it myself. I would do it myself. Absolutely. No, it's because it's a distraction. And you're, this game, it's too hard to win and play clean games without having distractions off the field. So I would absolutely address it, and I would address it to the whole team. I wouldn't single anybody out necessarily, but I would make that message real clear to the whole team.
Coach, what if you got the whole team together and say, everyone stand up whose dad did not tweet something negative against our offense this week, and then just one guy, and then you do it that way.
Yeah, that would be a start. I mean, yeah, just don't ask how many – I mean, I'm sure the mothers and the grandmothers. I mean, there's probably a list, but
yeah, there is a list at this point. Hey, Coach, you know I love afternoon Wani. We get afternoon Wani right here, and it comes with a beverage. Morning, yep. Morning Wani on Mully and Haw is good too. That's Tuesday mornings, and I was listening, and I heard you say it's a big week for Matt Eberflus to go over to Shane Waldron and tell him what the hell needs to happen. Because we talk about Shane Waldron making adjustments, but what are you hoping Matt Eberflus said to Shane Waldron this week?
Has everybody forgotten that Mercedes Lewis is on this team?
That's one.
Right? Put him in the lineup. He's a outstanding blocker tight end. Put Komet in there, or put the fullback in there.
Blassingame. Did not practice again, though, today. Might not be good to go again.
Okay, then that's fine. Put Komet in there. We got Everett. Mm-hmm. And this would be a game where you challenge these guys. You know, you don't want to challenge your offensive line against the team that we just played, Houston. You know, with Henry and with Will Anderson Jr. And those guys. No, because that's you're probably not going to have the success, which we didn't. This is a week that you challenge them. You're playing a team that's 31st in the league or 32nd maybe, 31st. They're either last or second to last in run defense, or second to last or last in defense.
Mm-hmm.
This is a week that you challenge that offensive line that we are going to get down there and just tell them, we're going to run the ball. Here's the first team, 15 plays. I've done this. Guess what? We're running it 14 out of those 15 plays, guys, or something. So get ready. And you start that like yesterday. You start it yesterday. You don't get ready for a heavyweight fight on the day before the fight, on Saturday. You start building this thing with your players. The physicality, the mindset. Herbert, you're gonna get the ball 20 times in the backfield. So get ready. Rashawn Johnson, you're gonna get 10 carries. I mean, I would challenge the whole damn group, and I would go out there and just pound these guys. And that's when we'll get the big plays. We'll get the play action passes, and there'll be gimmies. There'll be gimmies. Trust me, if we make an effort like that, and I think we will.
So the Colts are 31st in overall defense,
okay,
and they are dead last in rushing defense. So, look, I love what you're saying, because you look around this league and the running numbers are up. Paulie had it. It's the most rushing attempts through 2 weeks since 1983.
Yep.
So this is a time
I could maybe coach again.
Maybe you could. But seriously, like, this team needs to be told, and they need to be coached, and they need to impose their freaking will.
Yes.
Don't they? What happens to an offense when they go out there and they know they're going to run it and they run it successfully? What does it do to a team when they actually can do that?
It's confidence, and it takes the heart out of the opponent. You throw a long pass up and one guy out jumps the other guy. You know, everybody's upset at the guy that got beat on the long pass, and that's usually as far as it goes. But let me tell you something. If you line up and you run the ball at somebody and you are pounding the football and making yards and making first downs and scoring touchdowns, you deflate their whole team, because on defense, everybody's involved in the run game. If you're a safety, a linebacker, a defensive lineman, it don't make any difference. So that's the quickest way to take their heart out is run the football.
Coach, I want to go back a little bit with you, because you know the history of the football game. If you go back to the early 80s, Joe Gibbs and the Washington Redskins, they went to that two tight end offense with John Riggins, and it dominated the NFL. I've seen an interview with Joe Gibbs, and he said, that wasn't creative. That was out of desperation, because we're trying to block Lawrence Taylor every once in a while. When you look at the Bears offense right now, they're down a wide receiver. Keenan Allen's almost always hurt. They have two or three good tight ends. Would you consider making almost not a radical change, but a directive where you direct the offensive coordinator, we're going two tight ends often next week?
Yeah, I would have no problem doing that. Because you know what? Komet has done it, Paul, and you've seen it. You know, Komet can be a tight end on the line of scrimmage. He can be a tight end in the backfield as a fullback. He can be a move tight end, you know, across the line of scrimmage. He's a smart guy. He's a good at. So, you know, when you got a tight end like that can do a lot of things, absolutely you use them. And if there was ever a week to do it, I think this will be the week. And Shane Waldron, let me say this. Shane Waldron understands there's offensive coordinators, Paul, that don't want to run the ball. And on top of that, they don't understand how to run the ball. And then there's other offensive coordinators that I think we got caught up in a little bit. The only talk here is, you know, nobody was talking about our running game or our running backs. Everybody here was the three receivers and the quarterback and, you know, how we were going to throw the ball. The positive is Shane has been with Pete Carroll. He's been with Bill Belichick. Both of those guys think like I do. They would just soon run it than throw it. So he understands the run game.
I'm a little worried about that part of it. Talking to some Seahawks fans, several of them have told me, I've got some friends out there, they said that all year last year, very often Pete Carroll would start the post-game press conference with, well, we should have run the ball more. Now that's Pete.
That's on Pete. And if we come out this week and we don't run the ball, that's on Flus.
That's good.
Because let me, and I've said this, and Paul, you know, when I'm repeating myself here probably to Spigs and some of our listeners.
Who cares?
But who cares? Because this is the week. This is the week where this will make some sense. When you hire an offensive coordinator, you look at him, and his job is to put the ball in the end zone and score as many points as you can. When you hire a defensive coordinator, his job is to stop them however you can. Now, you got the game in hand as a head coach. You don't want them blitzing where you give up an easy touchdown. Even though he would love to blitz them, the defensive coordinator, he wants to stop them there. I can get there. I can blitz them. I can get there. It's your job as the head coach to step in and say, I want to play coverage. Play coverage. So it's Flus's job, in my opinion, to get on the hall to Waldron and say, Coach, listen, this week I want it to be 60 to 70, 65% run, okay? And let's work on it that way. Put it together. I'm not going to tell you what's the best runs. That's your job.
Yeah.
But let's run the football.
So last year, the Seahawks, second to last in rushing attempts.
Yeah, how do you do that with Kenneth Walker to third?
I love that guy.
Oh,
I love that dude. They were fifth to last in rushing yards last year. It's Seattle. Coach, you ever get fired because an offensive coordinator didn't run the ball enough?
Never.
But you pay the price for an offensive coordinator, though, don't you?
I got fired for running it too much. But anyway, that's another story.
there we go. But as the defensive head coach, I mean, the way you're talking about it, Flus has to step the hell up here because it's his job that's on the line.
Absolutely. We were in Miami and we were playing Buffalo. We were both like 4-5-1. It was a Sunday night ESPN game, Paul. And we had the game, we were up by 5 with about seven minutes ago, I think it was. And Jay Fiedler, our quarterback, who was a heck of a player, you look at the wins when he was healthy, he like 60, 70% wins, 75% I think the number was. Anyway, he throws a pass, and it bounces off the safety's hands. And I don't know if it was Chan Gailey was my offensive coordinator, North Turner, one of the two. And I said, hey, guys, that's it. Nobody touches the ball except number 34, Ricky Williams. And we handed the ball to Ricky, I think it was 9, 10, 11, I don't know, 12, 13 times, and took it the length of the field and never threw a pass.
I've always wondered how that works. When we're watching at home on TV, we see Eberflus on the sidelines, and you know he's doing what he's doing, and Shane Waldron's calling the plays upstairs. How does it work in real time if a coach listening in on the headset wants to veto a play call? Do they veto him in the moment? Do they veto him at halftime? How does that work?
Well, you'd like to be ahead of the call, okay, Paul? By that, I mean, and Jimmy Johnson, that's who, you know, laid the foundation for me. Jimmy would be ahead of the call, and by that, I mean, just to kind of, let's use the example I had. Okay, we got a 10-point lead, and there's 5 minutes to go. Hey, guy, hey, Dave, let's play coverage. Let's play coverage. You know, and you know, in other words, don't blitz. So you're controlling the game. You're staying ahead of the call. Hey, I used to say I want to throw two deep passes a half. That was a pet peeve with me. I didn't give a damn if they were thrown out of bounds. Throw two deep passes a half, okay? And so I would stay. I would keep how many deep passes we throw, guys. And then I knew when I wanted to run a trick play. Guys, let's get a trick play in here now. I don't know which one, and I don't care. But just run one now.
Dave Wannstedt is the man.
I don't know. I mean, is that, you know, that's just the,
oh, you
I
know.
Think that's the way you have to do it.
He's Paul Pabst. I'm Matt Spiegel. It's Spiegel & Company with Dave Wannstedt. Lots more to go. We need to run down this offensive line and talk about their execution, which I remain for, much like John McKay back in the day. And we need to talk about the defense as well. And Coach has picks for you as well. It's Spiegel & Company on the score.
I got to look. I got some picks.
Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station. Dave Wannstedt.
And I'm always available unless I'm doing something.
With Spiegel & Company on 670 The Score.
It is indeed Spiegel & Company with the coach, Dave Wannstedt. He's just about done his Iron City Light. And then he's going to walk home. That's how he rolls. The dude, he's on fire. He'll walk home, or maybe he'll walk to another job. He's got a million jobs, but they're all right around down here. Dude is a man of the world. Paulie Pabst enjoying the interaction with Dave Wannstedt. Wants to talk offensive line. What you got, Paulie?
Yeah, Coach, I'm going to ask you later what you're benching these days because you still throw it around a little bit. But let's get to the real topic. Going back to the other night against the Texans at halftime, we never see what happens in a locker room at halftime. It's one of the more fascinating things for me as a football fan. We never see it. When an offensive line is having a rough night, do you go in the locker room? Would you have gone in the locker room and done the old school high school chew them out? Or is it more methodical that you're going over scheme, technique, and this is not the place to give them the airing out?
Well, I think there's a couple things, you know, a couple thoughts here. Number one, are we having problems because of their mental mistakes, Paul, or are they just getting whipped physically?
Right.
And, you know, the one sack that that Caleb got hit on were
Darnell Hunter,
where Hunter just came up under.
Swallowed him under Darnell Wright.
Yep. Just gave him a great move to the outside. Darnell Wright's Hunter's an outstanding player. He was one of the best free agents on the market. I mean, he was a star, in my opinion, when he was with Minnesota. I really thought that. And so, you know, in that case, you got a young kid that gets set up and beat inside. You know, you got to keep his confidence up. Now, if he would have turned a guy loose because of a mental mistake, it's a whole different scenario. And then I am turning to my offensive coordinator, if I'm the line coach, and saying, guys, or flu, somebody's got to say, guys, we got to slow these guys down. We got to run the football. I know if we're behind and we got to score points, but we got to slow them down somehow.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to stand there and let this happen the rest of the game.
So to Paulie's point, hard to rip into a Darnell Wright who just gets beat by a great athlete.
No.
How about a Nate Davis who shows you some stuff that might be effort related? What do you do about that?
Oh yeah. Well, you know, that's an endless conversation here. You know, as far as he deserving to be a starter? One, is he deserving to be on this team? Two, you know, I don't know. I mean, I think people have just beaten that thing to death and he's here. He's going to be here for whatever reasons.
Well, what the hell are we supposed to do, though, Coach? I mean, I don't like calling out people for lack of effort, but that's what it sure looks like.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't have an answer for that. And then the thing that bugs me is the guy doesn't seem to ever be practicing enough to get better, you know? I mean, offensive line, they get minimal opportunities with the new rules anyway to get out there. And the only way you can get better in the offensive line is put the pads on and go block somebody, you know? And when you're hurt and you're not in there with the few opportunities that you get, you got no chance.
He told Mark Grody that they need repetition yesterday.
You got to be there to have repetition.
That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. Are you surprised there's no changes on this offensive line?
Well, no. I mean, you know, no, I'm not. I mean, who are you going to put in there? You know, I always said this. Okay, want to make a change or get rid of a guy. Who's going to take his place? Tell me who's going to take his place. It gives us a better chance, and I'll do it.
Coach, I was wondering how that would work, like during the season. Like, you are not the GM; you're the head coach of the Bears. Do you call the GM at some point and say, "Hey, this is beyond a problem of execution or scheme. We have a sub-talented offensive line, and we need help immediately." Would a coach ever go upstairs and talk to a GM mid-season?
Now we used to have the GMs come in. I guarantee you, Ryan Poles is down there on Sunday after every game. He's going to watch the tape. He's going to grade every player. And then when they have their staff room, we sit around there and we would go over every player. How did Davis play? Tony Wise, our line coach's example, would say how he played. And I would say, gee, you know, then I would make a comment. I mean, you know, Tony, that's 5 weeks in a row. Is the guy not understand what you're teaching? And then Tony would say, well, he doesn't study enough, or coach, he doesn't have enough ability, with the GM sitting in there. And then if he had an opinion, he could give an opinion too. So that's talked about the day after the game, Paul, every week, all season long.
That's interesting. Yeah, so that day after, you're in there, you're talking about it. And maybe they don't love the options. Maybe they don't love the Matt Pryor option. Maybe they don't love the Bill Murray option. They talk about that. They like their depth. But you got Ryan Bates with the arthritic shoulder condition. That's what Paul Papp's mother has, is an arthritic shoulder condition. And she's not available to dress.
Not available. Week. But, Coach, she's a grinder. She would go in there and pass block for you.
She would. If she's you definitely got her genes.
You scouted her, huh?
Yeah, absolutely.
Sacks are specific occurrence.
Yeah, every sack is a specific occurrence.
Coach, didn't you try to redshirt Paul's mom like Aaron Donald?
No, not Paul's mom. But Aaron Donald, I did. Yes, I'll take credit for that. Yeah. I told him he wasn't quite good enough that we were going to redshirt him.
There was one room with the light on at Pitt.
That's right.
It was Paulie's mom in the weight room.
Tanny.
Throwing weight. Like J.J. Watt back 10 years ago.
Paul, these guys, it's tough to get any. You can see it's tough to get any serious work done here. But
brother, you're drinking.
I did tell Aaron Donald, and he, you know what he said to me? He was the greatest. He says, Coach, yes, sir, whatever you want. Well, 2 days later, I called him in. I says, Aaron, guess what? You're playing. We play in 3 days. We open up the season, and you'll be in the lineup, buddy. So get ready.
So you realize redshirting him, maybe not the greatest idea.
Absolutely.
I understand. Hey, on that defensive line for the Bears, by the way, I'm in love with Andrew Billings as a player.
Yeah.
I freaking love that dude.
Old school guy.
So, but him and Dexter. Is Dexter playing pretty well, too? Yeah, what do you think?
Dexter's doing a heck of a job. Our defense is doing a heck of a job. I mean, Eric Washington, the defensive coordinator, and Flus, you know, you talk about halftime stuff, Paul. Our guys, on defense. They do as good a job as any place I've seen of coming out and making adjustments. And the players are playing hard. We've played well enough defense for 2 weeks to be 2-0. There's no question. But, you know, it is a team game. I get it.
It does feel like in August the defensive line was the big concern. I'm going to put you on the spot here. I'm going to take one 30-second moment with you because I don't get to talk to you that often. You've seen the game from way back when. If you had to start your NFL team with one of these three defensive players, Lawrence Taylor, Reggie White, Aaron Donald.
Well, that's fun. That's an edge rushing linebacker. That's a defensive end as a pass rusher and more. And that is middle of the line as a pass rusher and obviously much more.
Well, I'm going to go with, you put me on the spot there. To me, the best player of the whole group, in my opinion, with the style, you got to look at the style of defense we're going to play.
Right.
We're going to play a 4-3. Okay, so Lawrence Taylor would have to be a defensive end with his hand on the ground. Okay, so it would be Aaron or Reggie. Reggie had the ability to play end and tackle because of his range. You know, he's 6'6 or whatever he was. Aaron Donald is like a son to me. I mean, I love the guy, obviously, but. Reggie probably has – you just pulled out the three greatest guys probably had ever played the game.
I went fastball at you. That's a tough call.
You did. You know, but I would probably go with Reggie. Because he could play more positions in our scheme. You know, Buddy Ryan used to line Reggie up in that Bear defense at the nose, at the tackle, and at the end.
All of them.
And all three of them. Where Aaron has played end – and he's done a great job at end, but because I think his height and his range, he's more of a tackle. And Lawrence Taylor has played end. You know, he rushes the passer, the greatest pass rusher maybe of them all. But but as far as lining up against a 300-pound tackle with a tight end next to him and fighting off double teams, I don't think that was his cup of tea either.
Those Giants ran a 3-4 with Carson and Carl Banks.
Yep.
Yeah, Jim Burt.
Yep.
Jim Bird on the nose.
Yeah, 3-4.
All right, well, that's a good one. All right, let me ask you one. I don't get to I get to talk to you a lot, but I won't get to do this.
Good question, though.
Yeah. Right. Best producer of the Dan Patrick Show. Was it McLovin or is it Seton or is it Paul Pabst?
Wow. You know, that Pabst guy, you know, as the name it just keeps jumping out at me, you know?
Coach, with a name like Pabst, you know I'm getting you free beer.
There we go.
Good stuff. Dave Wazzy. All right, Paulie, give him another one. Give him an offensive one. Have some fun. Go for it.
Oh, an offensive one. This is good. If you had to start your team with any running back of all time, I'm not looking for an instant Walter Payton, yes, but would you look for more of a power back or the Marshall Faulk, you can catch just as many passes, LaDainian Tomlinson pass catching? In this NFL, if you could pick any NFL running back of all time to start your team.
Well, the one that scared me the most was Barry Sanders. Barry Sanders, I mean, it's a shame that he retired like when he did early, but Barry Sanders was as big a play running back, I think, as the NFL's ever had. And, there's that old expression we always tell the running backs, BYOB, be your own blocker. In other words, there's going to be somebody there. You're going to have to make a miss. Nobody did it better than Barry Sanders. You know, Emmitt Smith was awful good. I was teammates with Tony Dorsett. He could play a little bit of ball. I recruited and coached LeSean McCoy. You know, Ricky Williams, led the NFL in rushing when I had him at the Dolphins.
He could catch it out of the backfield, if he needed to.
I mean, they all had a little different style. But I've been fortunate. Maybe that's why I want to run the ball so much. I mean, I've been around some great running, as good as what's ever played the game, running backs, and that's been a real honor. And but I don't know. Barry Sanders was all that I know is he was the one that when the game started that just scared you to death because you never knew. You know, he was like one of those quarterbacks that would be able to get out of the pocket and make unscripted plays, the Patrick Mahomes.
It's the Patrick Mahomes of running backs.
Yeah, I mean, to me, that was Barry Sanders, in all honesty.
That's good stuff.
Hey, Paul, ask him about all the great quarterbacks Dave had.
You already mentioned Jay Fiedler.
I think we're up against a hard break. I don't know if we can get that in.
Time for Coach Wanstead to make some picks.
I love guys who like football. And guys that like football, they like me back, and I like them back. And even guys that don't like football, I mean, they try to avoid me because I'm always trying to get them to like football more.
Jim Harbaugh, man. Football, he likes it. He's Dave Wanstead's first quarterback as a Bear. And now Wani cheers for him, bets on him. Fun fact, I placed the Dave Wanstead parlay during the break. Those four games he just gave out. I'm like, what the hell? Why don't I ride with Wani this week? Why not?
A couple beers in him. What could go wrong?
Yeah, just one. Just one beer in him, Paulie Pabst. All right, so you have questions. You're coming to town for both Cubs and Bears, which means you're going to Soldier Field and you got to sort all that business out for not this weekend, but next weekend.
Yeah, coming in town for the Rams game, bring my wife and kids to their first ever Chicago Bears game. I want to look like I know what I'm doing. It's been a couple of years since I'm at Soldier Field. I want to bring in the guys because they know Soldier Field. Specifically, where do I tailgate? What specific lot? What specific area?
So, yeah, it's a good question. I mean, the South lot is really the big hang. Are you going to drive? Are you going to drive and park and do it or what?
No, we're staying over by DePaul University. We got a little place to stay, and we're just going to take public transportation down, walk around, see the lakefront. But I want a good tailgating lot.
Okay, well, first off, it's a good idea to take public transportation and walk. Be prepared to walk a lot and give yourself, I crap you not, give yourself an extra hour. Add an hour on top of whatever you think. I'm serious.
Whatever plan I already had in place, even being cautious, add an hour.
I would add an hour. Or if it's early enough, like if you're talking about 2 or 3 hours before the game, add a half hour. But like, I can't tell you how often, I live right there. I live across the street. I can't tell you how often I see people frantically running or walking fast or driving 5 minutes before kickoff, and I know they're going to miss like the entirety of the first quarter.
And that drives me absolutely crazy because I love the tailgate almost as much as I like the game. I'm a huge college football fan. I go to college football almost every weekend.
Wow.
And to miss the tailgate, I'm planning on being there by about 9:30 in the morning.
Okay, so you're probably fine. You still might want to add a half hour. But I think the South lot is the hang. It's been a while. Shane, that show tailgate that we did, or the time that we went, and like all those different people that invited us to their tailgates, that was awesome. That was the South lot, right?
Yeah, I mean, it was South lot. It's just, and that was rainy that day. Like, it wasn't a good weather day. That was before Lamar Jackson was pulled last minute when the Bears played the Ravens. And I can't remember who was his backup.
Tyler Huntley.
Yeah. Like, yeah, that was that game.
Scoop Huntley.
This might be weird, but that's the first regular season Bears game I've ever gone to in person. And it was me and Patrick Manley. It was a great time. So, like, I'm biased that way. That was a great first game to go to. But, like, Paul, go for a half and then leave and go watch the rest at a bar. Like, you're a sports media professional. Yeah. You know that football is better on TV than it is in person. Go for the tailgate, go for a half, leave at halftime.
I would say if I was more of a regular at Bears games, that would be the plan, but it's my wife and kids' first time there. My kids, believe me, they love a bar as much as the next set of kids, but I think I got to stay the whole game. So I am in row 400. I'm in the 400 section. One thing I love about Soldier Field, and I think it's maybe underrated because some people jab the look of Soldier Field from the outside. I think it's one of the top five places to watch a game as far as the sight lines.
Sight lines are great. You couldn't be more correct. The sight lines remain really good. Like once you're actually in there, you're like, oh my God, I feel like I'm so close. It's unbelievable in that way. Listen, have you gone down to the Adler Planetarium and had that view of the skyline looking back? Oh, you got to do that. And then because a texter says this, don't take your kids to the South lot, Paul. Too adultish. Take them to the Adler Planetarium lot and walk along the lake to see the beautiful boats. I'm telling you, I didn't realize that's a thing because I avoid it all on game day, but we go down to the planetarium all the time. That's an unbelievable spot to go watch sunset, go hang out, do a picnic. Yeah. Like so he's on it. The Adler Planetarium parking lot's there, and then you walk along the lakefront down to Soldier Field. That is an incredible suggestion.
Right. That's a great call. I hope there's some beer down at Adler Planetarium. I love the sun and the moon and the stars, but I need a couple of cold ones. By the way, real quick, I've been to quite a few NFL stadiums. Want to know the absolute worst one for watching a game? I think you're going to be surprised. The Cowboys. The Cowboys Stadium is horrendous for watching a game for multiple reasons.
From actually being in there, once you're in there to watch the game, tell us.
Being in there, it's the worst. I think it's one of the worst. The Jumbotron is drastically too big. You find yourself looking up at the Jumbotron and not down at the action. They also have these suites, and they're recessed into the sides of the stadium. So they're lower. They're like recessed like a garden apartment in Lincoln Park. And so when you sit in these, you see the backsides of the football players on the sidelines, and you have to just watch the TV in those suites. It's one of the worst places to watch a game.
Wow. I didn't know, because we do, every once in a while, we'll do a Trading Spaces Stadium Edition as we try to help Kevin Warren build his new stadium. Went out to Vegas and saw that place and came in with some thoughts. So you'd be a good guy to ask. I didn't realize you go to college football that much. Really? The Northeast, or will you go south down to college football country as well?
I can't lie to you. I love college football down south and the Big Ten. I'm a old school Big Ten fan. I live in the Northeast. I have to go sometimes to Yale games. I see the second round draft pick of the Bears went to Yale. I saw him play. But I'll go up to Rhode Island. I'll go to, if you ever want a great experience, one of the great experiences in all of sports, go to West Point. Go to an Army home game in October, November on the Hudson River. It will change your life. It'll reassure yourself in America. It's a fantastic place to, and they also have good football.
Hey, Paul, you know that you don't have to do that, right? Like, no one's making you go watch college football? Because it's really bad. It's a bad product.
Man, I love you. I love the way you love meat. I love the way you love drinking. I can't roll with you on the college football thing, man.
It's really bad. Stop going.
It's so much better than the NFL. I am such a bigger...
Oh, what? My God!
What?
Fire this guy into the sun!
In what ways, sir?
I can't be fired. I haven't been hired yet. I love college football. Yeah. The atmosphere, the tailgate, the band, everything. Believe me, I love the NFL a lot. I was kidding there. But the experience at a college football game, it's an all-day experience. It's not a two-hour tailgate and a four-hour game.
He just said right now that he got the job. I don't know. Sorry, that's Mitch on the phone.
You said you were doing college football every weekend, Paul. What games are you going to? Are these like secret games that we don't get to see on TV that are like really cool? Like, I'm interested. Like, where do you go?
They are a bit secret games. When you go to a Rhode Island Towson game at noon on a Saturday, you're not going to run into a lot of people.
That's why you love drinking. Hey, you got to be hammered to get through that.
I've been to a game at Yale. It's pretty great, actually. It's pretty damn fun to go to a Yale.
It's pretty fun. There's a lot of room. A good seat's still available. I think the place holds like 75,000. And you want to see a bunch of hedge fund managers play football, it's a great place.
Yeah, take that hint, Paul. No one else is there. You shouldn't be either.
Looking around here.
Do you know where I want to go? I want to go to Northwestern's temporary field.
Yeah, man.
Right on the lake.
Yeah, it looks awesome.
I do too.
Yes, yeah.
We should
do that.
Same. We should go when there isn't a game so we don't have to watch college football.
Oh, shame. I'll come by your house next week.
Paulie Papps, what a pleasure, man. It's been very, very fun.
Guys, it was absolutely my pleasure. You guys are the best.
Well, you know, you're right. It's it's interesting. It's the first thing he's been right about most of the day. He's wrong about his college football taste, but his taste in radio shows and hosts and producers is spot on. What's that? We're better than middays? Yeah, you're right. Good stuff. Good call, Paul. Thank you to our guests on the show. Mark Grody was awesome, like he always is. And Dave Wanstead was a treat. Paulie enjoyed getting to talk to Dave. You know, it's his first time. Coach is the goods. Thank you to those two men. Thank you to everybody who did a tremendous job on the show. Connor O'Donnell, as always, the governor of the chat room. Kevin Lapka does incredible work
here. Hey, governor.
The governor. Ooh, governor.
Hey, the alderman.
Kevin Lapka, the dragon slayer of the chat room. Ooh, dragon slayer. Thank you to Shane Reardon for his incredibly unique executive producer profile. I forgot to tell you something to cook, so you didn't cook. That's okay.
Yeah, we didn't cook today.
It happens. It happens.
Governor?
Maybe some other day. Thank you to Chris Tannehill for doing tremendous work and making us sound better than we actually are. For Paulie Pabst, I am Matt Spiegel. Thanks so much for listening to 670 The Score.
That's it. All right, guys. Didn't mean to bother you.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started.
Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.